So happy you can join us for this Compass Catholic podcast. And this is Manager Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Our goal is to show you how to eliminate the debt you've accumulated, no matter how big or small that debt may be. Check out our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. You know, most parents kind of look forward to a visit from their adult children. But what if that visit includes all the luggage, a 60-inch TV, a 10-week-old puppy, a spouse, multiple grandchildren, and plans are to move in permanently? The question we're going to discuss today, Evelyn, is how much should you help your adult children?
You know, when you said that, it occurred to me that adult children is kind of an oxymoron term, isn't it? Adult children. We want them to be adults because we want them to be independent, but they're always our children. So there's a certain amount of care that goes with that. And what you just asked is a loaded question.
Are you calling our kids oxymorons?
No. And unless you know something I don't know, we only have one.
Oh.
But think about it. From the adult child's perspective, they're thinking, well, mom and dad should help me because I deserve it after all. Maybe they're thinking, mom and dad are financially fine. Why shouldn't they help me?
Yeah, I studied hard in school, and I can't find a job in my field now, and my roommates all moved out, and I didn't ask to be born.
Think about mom and dad's perspective. I mean, they need to save for retirement. They're thinking, we did our job to help them grow up. Now they're an adult, and they should be taking care of themselves. Why should I help fund their lifestyle because they waste money on unnecessary purchases? So there's two sides to that issue. And while our adult children grow up and become adults, we never stop being parents. And often it's hard to know where to draw the boundaries when it comes to financially helping them.
So it's little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems.
That's it.
I think the best gift that you can give your children is to teach them how to be financially independent when they're young. You know, if you give them more and more financial responsibility as they grow from toddlers to teens to adults, it will give them a solid foundation for when they're out on their own. I know that's a difficult situation, and, you know, how much help do you want to do for your adult children? That's just sticky. And you know what? It really requires a lot of communication.
Well, I think it requires communication between both mom and dad and between mom and dad and the adult children. It needs to be surrounded by open discussions. And really, it's more art than science. There's no right or wrong because every family's different. So it needs to be done with a lot of prayer and discernment, and mom and dad need to evaluate how well their child is handling their own money before they step in and help.
Well, and supporting your adult children financially for too long, that could be a really bad idea for both you and, in reality, for your children.
You know, part of that is because it drains money that you should be directing towards your retirement savings. And the other part is that the more you help them, the more dependent they become. So you're really not doing either you or your child any good.
Yeah, I think it's important for both you and your spouse to be on the same page about what kind of financial assistance you're going to offer, how much are you going to do, and how long are you going to do it. If the two of you can't come to a consensus on those questions, it's going to be really, really difficult, and it's going to create problems in your marriage and in your relationship with your child.
You know, I was reading a recent study from CNBC that revealed, despite leaving home and starting careers, many millennials still rely on their parents to cover cell phone and car insurance bills. And a 2017 study from creditcards.com found that 74% of parents reported helping adult kids with expenses and debt.
You know, the problem with that kind of information is it doesn't tell you how old these adult kids are and how long that people are doing it. That's just, in my mind, that's just wrong. You know, I think that you've got to let the children become adults. You can't treat them as children. Even, you know, they're always going to be your child. When you're 90 years old and they're 70 years old, they're still your child. You got to get over that part.
So I think the best way to prepare a child to be independent financially is to start when they're young and teach them basic budgeting skills when they're young, which is a key to their long-term success. Because it's something that they have to learn. It's not something they're going to pick up on their own.
Steve, did you have any budget training as a child?
Just, not formally, just watching my parents and how they operated. They never owned a credit card until, I think we may have been in college, my brother and I, before we noticed they actually had a credit card. Everything was done with cash. Everything was put in envelopes for food, for groceries, you know, car payment, whatever. Once the cash ran out, the cash ran out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the training that we had, and I kind of follow that too right now. I mean, we've always followed that.
What about you, Evelyn?
Same thing. Cash went in the envelope. You know, my mom used to send me to the store because we could walk to the grocery store from our house, and she would tell me what to buy, about how much it costs, mm-hmm. and she would give me pretty much the precisely right amount of money. And when I came home, the receipt and the change went back into that envelope, and it was there the next time I went to the store. So I learned from them to be frugal. I mean, we didn't have need.
Yeah,
we had enough food and clothes. We had everything we needed, but we weren't living a very fancy lifestyle compared to some of my friends.
But again, growing up like that, we never knew there was anything else. That we were happy. We were content. We did everything we wanted to do.
You know, I think part of it, I don't know about where you lived, but when I was growing up, my parents were really affected when they were much younger by the Depression.
Same with my parents. Uh-huh.
And that really planted seeds in their minds about being careful with money. And I don't think that's a bad thing to have learned. And I don't think that's definitely not a bad thing to have passed on to their children.
No, I'm hoping that the recession from 10 years ago taught a lesson to what are now the millennials, that they saw the struggles that some of their parents went through. Losing jobs, foreclosing on homes.
You know, so many people we talk to, the parents don't share their financial issues with the kids. I mean, my mom had no trouble saying, we can't afford it. And that was the end of the conversation. There wasn't any whining or crying or Johnny has one or, you know, none of that. It was like, we can't afford it. And that was the end of the discussion. And I never remembered asking or begging for anything. Once they said no, it was no.
You know, I think part of that goes to the idea that in today's world, parents are more concerned about being friends with their children than they are.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, being parents.
And I mean, just
that
listening.
That has nothing to do with the finances, but then again, it has everything to do with the finances.
No, listening to parents when we have done money coaching and stuff, they bring that up, that their friends have the latest video games and, you know, they don't want their kid to be outcast.
Deprived.
Deprived, maybe that's a better word.
I would say send your child to their friend's house and have them play the game there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you start out small, they can learn and gain confidence. So even when they're a teen, you can have experiences where you teach them how to budget. For example, if you're paying for their school clothes, give them an amount they can spend, give them a list of what they have to buy, and let them buy the school clothes they need. Now, if they come home and they have a really fancy, expensive pair of sneakers, and they don't want to wear the sneakers everywhere, but there's no other shoes, guess what? They're going to wear the sneakers everywhere. You're not going to cough up another set of money to give them a different pair of shoes. They have to be responsible for what they spent.
Well, and I think the other thing is, I can remember when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I started mowing yards. I was able to save up, and I bought stuff. I think I've mentioned this at one point in time, but I bought myself a suit because I wanted to be dressed up to go to church. In today's world, what would happen? I think in most cases, when the kid saved that money, he's going to go buy the suit, the parents would go buy it for him.
I think the kid would go buy a video game.
And well, they're not going to buy a suit in today's world, but...
And probably they wouldn't be allowed to cut the grass because it would be dangerous and mom and dad would be worried about them. And, you know, but if we let our kids have small experiences when they're under our roof and we can help and teach them and guide them, it's a much better situation than when they come home with the puppy and the grandkids and the 60-inch TV and all their belongings and try to move back in with mom and dad. So we need to let them fail, and we need to help them learn from their failure.
Yeah, and you know, when they get into, you know, the fifth and sixth grade or in middle school or maybe even the early years of high school, and they're buying their lunches at school, give them an allowance. We know that your lunch costs whatever it is, $1.50 a day. Here's $7.50 for your lunches for the week.
And if they spend all $7.50 on Monday because they treated all their friends to lunch,
they're going to have to schlep around for the rest of the week to get their lunch.
Or they need to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and take them to school with them. Yeah, you need to let them suffer the consequences of their action. The other big thing we need to teach them as children is the difference between needs and wants, which goes right along with the budgeting. Because if they can map out a budget that takes care of their needs, then they'll always have enough money to take care of themselves.
If you're helping them to learn their needs versus their wants, they can map out a budget and take care of all the necessities before they blow the money on something that is totally unnecessary. It's a good idea to have kind of a transition plan. You know, you may want to set up a deadline approach for financial independence with your kids, you know, as they get older and they're ready to graduate from high school. You know, are they going on to college or are they going to get a job? And if they go on to college, what are you going to pay for in college? I was reading an article just the other day about taking responsibility for expenses and assigning responsibilities for expenses between the parent, the student, and if the grandparents are involved, the grandparents. And so I think having that transition plan is really an important thing.
The transition plan, very important. And we're going to get into more detail of that in just a second. But first, I want to remind you, this is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries. Learn how we can help you get right side up when it comes to your budget. There's more information at compasscatholic.org. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, are with me. And Evelyn, would you talk a little more about the transition plan?
You know, whichever transition plan you decide to do with your adult child, whether you want to have it be a gradual approach or a deadline, such as when they graduate from college and get their first job, you need to have a conversation with them to help them prepare. And you have to be supportive, but firm. So you can answer questions and give advice, but don't bail them out. If they miss a payment or they have a late fee or an overdraft charge on their bank account, they need to suffer the consequences of that action.
Absolutely. And if you're going to do a transition plan, there are going to be bills that make sense. You know, you pay jointly due to a family plan discounts, like, for example, a cell phone. Maybe you got four lines for $4 or something like that. Something really ridiculous.
You know, four lines for $4, that's not going to happen.
All right. So you might want to include the adult child in the family vacation without expecting them to contribute their fair share of expenses. Or maybe you have saved up money in a college fund that they didn't use. They didn't drain that whole fund. And you can give that to them to help them pay for an advanced degree. But whatever it is that you are prepared to contribute to them, be sure that you communicate this clearly so that they understand what you're going to do and what they're responsible for.
You know, the other thing is a lot of parents are well off and maybe they can support an adult child financially, but it's still a good idea to help them learn to handle their own finances. Because you may be in a solid financial situation today, but that may change. And if you're teaching them to be dependent, what happens when they decide to get married and mom and dad are in the middle of their marital finances? I mean, that's not a good situation to be in for anybody, mom and dad or the husband and the newlywed husband and wife. So it's really important to move them toward financial independence, even if you can afford to pay for stuff a little bit longer.
So what's the key thing that we as parents should be doing, even when the child is younger?
Well, we'd like to have an MVP parent. M stands for model the behavior you want them to have. The V stands for verbal training by telling them what you're doing and why you're doing it. And the P stands for providing practical opportunities for them to manage money while they're growing up.
So you may have kept family finances private from your kids in the past, but as they become independent, be transparent with them about financial struggles you've had and how you've dealt with them. We did that. We had the experience of being able to do that with our son when we were struggling. He was probably 12 or 13 years old. We just had to tell him, he said, look, there is no money. You can't do this, you can't do that. I think that was a good learning thing for him. If he wanted to buy something, I remember one thing in particular. It was a remote-controlled car. 30 years ago, it was expensive. Today, maybe it's even more expensive. We made him save the money up, and he did. And it was a huge learning experience for him. And when he bought that, boy, did he take care of it.
A lot of parents try to shield their kids from these financial situations in the family, but it's a good learning experience to expose them at a proper level. Now, you don't want to run around with your hair on fire screaming that you're going to be kicked out of your house tomorrow, but to expose them to a certain level of frugality within the family. It's not going to hurt them.
No, I agree. And I want to take a step back to something you talked about 3 minutes ago, the transition.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have mentioned it and I missed it. I apologize. But you put this down in writing. So when your adult son or daughter moves back into the home with the family and you set up guidelines on who's going to be responsible for what, it is in writing?
I don't think we mentioned that, but if it's a move-in situation or even if it's a we're going to support you this way or that way for a while, I think it's a good idea to have it in writing.
It takes the form of a contract almost, and I agree with Evelyn. If it's in writing, then there should be no, you said, I said.
I know it sounds cold when you're talking about a contract with your child, but it's worth it to have it in black and white.
Well, it prevents a lot of hurt feelings down the road. Mm-hmm. When you said this and I said that and you didn't say this or I didn't say that.
The other question that we get sometimes with children, whether they move back into the home or you're financially supporting them, do you consider that a loan and you're expecting the child to pay you back at some point in their life?
Well, I think that's one of the things that needs to be in writing. Now, if you give a gift, it's a gift.
Right. I understand. Mm-hmm.
So you can't give a gift and then expect them to manage it the way you want them to manage it. If you've given them a gift, it's hands off. They get to do what they want with the money.
But your daughter wants you to make some car payments for the next 5 months.
But if you're giving them a loan, then that should be in writing too.
Okay.
Definitely. Because it's easy to get I don't want to use the word, I'm not sure what term I'm looking for. It's easy to get drawn into gradually taking over more and more responsibility as a parent than you really should be taking over.
No, because I think naturally you feel bad, even though they've made the situation themselves. You didn't force them into buying whatever. Yeah, I always wonder, do you put stuff like that down in writing?
I would definitely put it in writing, especially if they're coming to you and asking for help. Now, if you're giving them a gift, let's say for a special occasion, that's something entirely different.
And, you know, if you're paying something that's $30 a month and you're going to pay it for the next couple of months, I wouldn't be too concerned about putting that in writing. But, you know, if you're going to take over car payments or you're going to pay car insurance or you're going to pay for, you know, the down payment on whatever it is, that's, you know, more than, say, $100, then I would put it in writing so that everybody's just totally got it in black and white.
On the same page,
Yeah.
You know, which brings up really another topic is you have to be really careful if you're going to loan your child money for something because you may be loaning them money for a lifestyle they can't afford. And if all you're doing is supplementing a lifestyle they can't afford, what you're teaching them to do is live beyond their means. And that's not a good way to bring them up.
No, and as a parent, you're endorsing it.
Yeah, I mean, you're supporting them. Mm-hmm. So if they're making car payments on a car they can't afford, it would be much better to help them sell that car and buy a used, maybe certified car that's a few years older with much lower payments than giving them the money for the payments.
We had a family that wanted to pay for the membership at a country club. Even though they didn't belong to a country club, they just felt it would be the child felt it would be good for their career to network at a country club. So that's where the dilemma was. Should I go ahead and pay for their membership at the country club?
So what did you tell them?
I said, there's no way I would.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy answer.
I said, there's other ways of networking. I said, if he knows who belongs to those clubs, maybe he should find other organizations to join that cost nothing.
Yeah.
So.
And that's not a, you know, I mean, depending on the country club, obviously, but that's not a cheap deal. In most cases, it's a very expensive deal. Mm-hmm. And then that comes with membership fees and, you know, you're committed
social,
to this monthly social fee.
Yes.
And, you know, that's a lot of money to get into. One of the questions that we got was, if we could afford it as parents, should we buy our child a home?
You're not teaching your child anything. You're not accomplishing anything for your child when you're spending that kind of money. What you're doing is not only, you know, buying a house, that's nice, and there's ways to do that, but not giving it to them, okay? Maybe you, for every amount of money that they pay extra towards the principal each month, you could match that. That's one way of helping them out. But if you just go out and give them a house, then the rest of their money that they've got to spend is on lifestyle things.
Lifestyle increases.
Yeah, that they can't afford to be in. If they can't afford to buy their house, they surely can't afford to be doing all these other kinds of things that they're probably going to do because now they don't have a house payment.
Now, what happens if a child needs financial help and they didn't do anything to cause the financial issue? Let's say it's something that happened to them, a sick child, they got laid off from work. You know, any number of things could happen in a family where they might need financial help, but they didn't do something to cause the problem.
Well, I think that's a totally different situation. And you got to approach each one of those situations based on the specifics of that situation. You can't just have a blanket statement that says, if this happens, then we're going to do that. So it depends on the situation. If it's major medical bills and then that's one thing.
Well, the other thing is, I think it probably depends on how much the parents can afford to spend and if the child's going to help contribute to the cost of this thing. And if there's children involved, grandchildren involved, you know, you certainly don't want to see your child be homeless with their children if you can afford to give them a place to live for a few months while they get things straightened out. And you have to figure out if the problem's going to be resolved quickly or if this is a long-term lifestyle issue.
Well, and you got to know what they're doing to remedy the situation. And, you know, if they're working hard to remedy the situation, I would be more inclined to help than if they're sitting on their butts doing nothing.
So, Steve, where do you think the line is between spoiling them and helping them?
You know, I think, as John said, there are unique situations, and I'll give you a real quick one. Our son's job was in California. The cost of a home was outrageous. So we came up with, I think it was 50 cents on the dollar. We would match whatever they raised to put the down payment on the home.
Well, and you had them be responsible for much of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's much different than just handing them something and walking away.
So if you really want what's best for your children, and if you want them to remember you as a good parent, keep in mind this verse from Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
And there you have it. Stop funding your adult child's lifestyle. Now, if you'd like to share this program with a friend or family member, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on the button that says podcast. Okay, John and Evelyn, let's answer some questions we received via email this week. Would you recommend a simple method or tool to get started with a family budget? Great question.
On the Compass Catholic website, that's compasscatholic.org, there is a link to participants, and then under that, there's a bunch of practical applications. And one of those is a spreadsheet that you can use for your budget. Since I'm the spreadsheet queen, that's my contribution, is a link to a spreadsheet. So that's available, again, from the Compass Catholic website.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Evelyn. That's an excellent tool to use. And another tool that you might want to take a look at is at mint.com. It's another tool to create a budget. It's more electronic instead of just a spreadsheet. So it's you might find that easier to use. It's whatever, you know, whatever works the best for you. That's the important thing. In all of the budgeting processes that we do, if it works for you, that's what you should use. Whatever is the easiest is what you should be using.
Even if it's a pencil and paper.
Even if it's pencil and paper on a napkin or something like that. Because if it's not easy for you to use and you're not comfortable with it, you won't ever use it.
No matter how good a tool it is,
exactly.
They won't use it.
Exactly. Yeah. So use what's best for you.
You know, there's also a lot of smartphone apps and apps available from the banks or credit unions. So I would check with your bank or credit union to see if they have something available. Because often that'll download a lot of information from your bank or credit union that integrates with your budget.
Exactly.
And one final question, John and Evelyn, can you please help me with a scripture reference? Where in the Bible does it say the borrower is slave to the lender?
I'm glad you asked, Steve, because that's one of my favorite scripture verses that kind of puts into a capsule what we're all about as far as Compass Catholic Ministries. That verse is from Proverbs 22:7, John, and it reads...
Well, I don't have the whole verse in front of me right now, but it does say that the borrower is slave to the lender. Everybody knows how much in this country, pretty much worldwide, I think, that we hate slavery. The Lord wants us to be free of debt, and that's one of the reasons we often talk about it and why we want you to become debt-free.
Because we don't want you to be the slave of the lender.
John and Evelyn, as always, thank you so much. If you have a question of a financial matter you'd like John and Evelyn's advice, send your questions to askask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org and start downloading. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we're from Compass Catholic Ministries.